Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Warden. My guest today is Vincenzo Ippolito. Vincenzo's family winery is called Ippolito 1845. It's in Ciro, region of Calabria, in the far southwest of Italy. Welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Why is your winery called 1845, Ippolito 1845?
1845 is the foundation year. Actually, it's a stone that my uncle and my father found in an old building in our property. And since then, they put the year on our brand, just to identify one of the oldest winery in Calabria.
So when did they first, they were bottling in 1845 or
no,
just growing grapes?
No, yeah. At that time, we are talking about five generations ago. It was the grandfather or my grandfather to start the, I would say, the grape business rather than wine business. At that time, the economy was only based on the agriculture. They were not producing only grapes, but all kind of vegetable fruits in the area. And the production was focused on grapes and wine in bulk. Then to see the first bottle of wine with the regular label, we had to wait until the 50s.
The 1950s?
Yes. It was my grandfather Vincenzo was a very bold, ambitious and revolutionary person, because he was the first one in Calabria to put the wine into the bottle. He was very curious. He loved traveling around Italy more than the world, of course, because at that time it was pretty difficult to go internationally. So he had a small Topolino Fiat, and he used to travel around in the north of Italy. And then he saw how things were quickly changing, especially in the Barolo area and in Tuscany in general. So when he came back to Calabria, he said, okay, I have to do the same. I want my last name on the label too. And he started to bottle his wine in a regular 0.75 liter bottle.
So was he selling to like Milan restaurants and things like that?
He was selling to restaurants, to private people, and actually he did one of the first contract with the first chain of supermarkets in Italy too. They were mainly focused in the area of Lazio,
which is where Rome is.
Lazio, Lazio is the Roma region. Yes, it is. Yes. And then there was also other way of selling the wine in the 60s and 70s. We still have in our winery some kind of postcards where the wine was sold by mails.
Mail order? But, really?
Yeah. In the 60s and 70s, my father, my uncle, they did a deal with the American Express credit card. So to the owner of American Express credit card, they would get a paper with the list of our wine on it. They could fill the paper, send by regular mail to our winery, and then we would send the wine to them by train, because train from south to north was the fastest way to do that.
Yeah, quicker than a little Fiat bubble car.
Yes.
That's amazing that you've got that in your history, that you were doing mail order. People who don't live in Italy or have a lot of experience with Italy, the South is often seen as in some ways backward. And this is a great example of why people who think like that really don't always know what they're talking about. The fact that you were doing this. I mean, mail order now is such a Amazon.
Yes.
It's like everybody uses Amazon, and you were kind of like the Amazon.
It was a primitive Amazon way of selling wine.
I love the idea that you fill it out by hand and you take it to the post office and you lick a stamp and stick it on the on the thing and you send it off. And then when the wine arrives, you're incredibly excited.
Yes.
It's like Christmas comes.
Yes, yeah? Yes, for sure.
Okay, so obviously now in the modern era, what are your sales strategies to convince people that Calabria is a worthy region in Italy? What makes it special? What is its USP? Great varieties, the terroir?
Well, I think there are many, many good things about our area. First of all, Calabria is one of the greatest heritage of indigenous varieties. We have a great biodiversity in our area. So our wines are very unique, very exclusive, have a very great identity. If you think about grapes like Galliopo, Greco Bianco, Pecorello, Greco Nero, Montonico, they are all grapes that people never heard about, but they are very fine grapes from which you can do very unique wines. So on the side it's very challenging because people are not familiar with these grapes, but for sure you can catch the curiosity of people, the curiosity of wine lovers, and then you have a highway ahead, because there are only a few producers in Calabria. There are less than 150 wineries, so actually it's a small production. It's a niche production.
Yeah, but it's very isolated, Calabria. It's you know, right at the bottom of Italy. It's hilly.
Yeah, and then what is extraordinary in our area is also the terroir and the geography of our area, because it's a very narrow region, wet from two different seas. We have Ionian Sea on the east coast and Tyrrhenian Sea on the west coast, and it's crossed from a big mountain in the middle. We have Sila chain and Aspromonte chain. So the vineyards go from an altitude of 1,200 meters above the sea level until the coast side, where the level is zero. We have the most of the vineyards on the sea level. So there is a very extraordinary biodiversity, and then you have different expressions of wines, you have different expression of the same grapes in different parts.
So Calabria basically, that's the toe of Italy.
It's the toe of Italy. We say that we kick on Sicily.
So I mean, just give me an example of ripening times for, I don't know, Galliopo, if it's at, say, 300 meters or 1,000 meters.
Exactly. So people think Calabria is very south, so for sure the weather is very hot. So they believe that our harvest is very early. Instead, it is not. Because Galliopo is very ancient. I talk about Galliopo because it's the most important grape variety in our region. But Galliopo gets ripe very slowly. Galliopo has a lot of tannins, high acidity. So it needs time in order to make the tannins softer, more crispy. And usually we start the harvest in September. We pick up Galliopo for rosé wine in the first, second week of September, and then we end picking up Galliopo in October for our reserva wines, where we have more sugar content, so we get wines with more structure, with a higher aging potential.
So if I have a Galliopo from you, what are the main flavors in that wine?
What the main flavors? Okay, first of all, what is very identitary in Galliopo is the color. Because the color of Galliopo is very unique. Galliopo grape is not full of anthocyanins, so there is not the violet color inside the skin. So a good Galliopo usually goes from deep and intense ruby red color when it's young, going to more garnet color when it gets older, and usually the color is kind of transparent, so it looks like a soft wine, but it is not, because the structure is there, the alcohol is there, so it's a wine with a medium full body.
What do you drink it with? What is a classic Calabrian dish with that, with the gallioppo?
With the gallioppo, I would say we have a capretto, which is a goat.
Baby goat.
Baby goat. It's typical from our area. Capretto with the potatoes baked in the oven. It's a very, very nice dish. Or we have another primo piatto, first course, which is a pastagina. Pastagina means filled pasta.
Stuffed pasta,
yeah. So it's kind of a rigatoni pasta with the tomato sauce. But then we add boiled eggs, caciocavallo, which is a soft cheese, plus soppressata. Soppressata is a typical Calabrian sausage from pork.
Is it spicy, the sausage?
The sausage, we have two different sausage, salsiccia, which is with the red pepper, pretty spicy, and soppressata with the black pepper, so a little bit softer.
Okay, so that was gallioppo. So another great variety that you have is the pecorello. Is that red or white?
Pecorello is a white variety. Pecorello is a very funny name because in Italian means a little sheep. Actually, for us, it's a new rediscovery because it's an ancient grapes, but was a kind of neglected and abandoned in the area because of the low yield. But in the philosophy of our company, there is the target of giving high value to our indigenous variety. And Pecorello is great because it's a grape with a high acidity, very nice tropical fruit, herbs. So it's very refreshing white wine that you can easily drink and pair with many kind of dish from spring to autumn. We started the production of Pecorello 6 years ago with a very little production, and after six years we do a production of almost 10 times greater than what we started with.
So if I drink a Pecorello, what would I be looking for? Is it a wine that's quite heavy? Is it very
light? No, it's pretty light, but with a nice salty finish because the vineyards are very close to the beach, so the soil is sandy limestone, and the nose is very fresh, fruity, so it's a kind of wine that you can easily pair with raw fish or even with the spaghetti e frutti di mare, or with our wonderful tuna fish. So it's a really spring summer wine to enjoy with your friends.
Greco Nero?
Greco Nero is another beautiful grape variety. Usually Greco Nero is used to be blended with the Gallioppo because it's less structured than Gallioppo, less tannins, but good acidity and good color. So many producers usually put a little percentage of Greco Nero with the Gallioppo or with the Malbecco just to make the wine a little bit softer. But in my winery, 3 years ago, we had the pioneer idea to do a rosé wine with Greco Nero. Our classic rosé is made with the Gallioppo grapes, but we see that the market is looking more and more for rosé wines, and there is actually demand for a second rosé. So our idea was, why not trying to produce a rosé wine from Greco Nero, which could be very good grapes because the tannins are very, very fine, the color is a nice violet ruby color, and the acidity is pretty high. So there are all the good condition to make a very elegant rosé wine, and that's what we did 3 years ago by producing our Pesca Nera rosé. Pesca Nera, we played with the words Nera because it's from Greco Nero, Pesca because the color and the aroma reminds to the peach fruit.
Okay, so are you saying that the rosé from Gallioppo is maybe one that you could drink on its own?
Yes.
And the Greco Nero rosé would be more suited to food?
Yes, I think Gallioppo, it depends on the vintage actually, because sometimes you have a Gallioppo more elegant, sometimes it's more intense and full. Both rosé are more food friendly because they are southern rosé wine. So there is always a part of the structure, little body, little tannins, which makes the wine perfect with food.
Perfect. Tell me about Greco Bianco.
Greco Bianco is our second most important grape variety, and it's the base of Ciro Bianco DOC. It's a very ancient grapes. As the name says, it's a very old grape because the name was given by the Greek domination we had 2,500 years ago. Greco Bianco gives a white wine with a nice acidity, with a nice fruity, fresh aroma. Pretty easy to drink, not to age for a long time, but to enjoy within 1.5-2 years.
How do you see the future for your winery in particular and for Calabria in general?
I see, I don't know if in English you have this expression, I see a pink future. Okay. In Italian we have a futuro roseo, which means that the perspective is going to be better and better, because right now, in especially if I talk about Ciro area, there are more and more producers. My winery is an historic winery, but besides the historic wineries, there are many new wineries managed by young people with small estates, but they moved from grape production to grape production and wine production. So now,
and estate bottling. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So the group is tied in a consortium, and we are doing very nice activity. During this Vinitaly, we have a great wine tasting to celebrate our 50 years of DOC wines. And we will have a great tasting from 1969 to 2013. So it's a great opportunity to taste all the history of Ciro, where the historic old producer are mixed with the new young producers.
I want to say thanks to my guest today on the Italian Wine Podcast, Vincenzo Ippolito from the Ippolito 1845 winery in Calabria. Thanks for explaining all those native grapes. We're going to have to do a food podcast, because you like your food.
Okay, good.
And we could really dig deep into the cuisine of Calabria. Let's do that next time. Yeah,
the best way is if you enjoyed listening to the stories, come to Calabria and enjoy our beautiful territory together with our wines and food.
Yes, I mean, it really is unspoiled. It is rugged, mountainous.
Yes.
It's a totally different part of Italy. It's like, it really is its own place.
For sure. It's a wild place with lots of things to say.
Thanks, Vincenzo. Really nice to meet you. Look forward to seeing you down in the deep south.
Thank you, Mr. Monti.
Thanks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.